You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we are back for another edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast. Ben standing here coming to you on a Friday from a wet and dreary D.C. area. Kind of a bummer. Hopefully it's not going to mess with people's weekend plans. I do actually have some people in town who are here to do some D.C. touristy type stuff. So this is not exactly the ideal weather for that whole walking around scene. So we'll see how that goes. In any event, I did not want to leave you guys high and dry without a podcast going to the weekend. See what I did there? Wet, high, and dry. Yeah, okay. Anyway. So I've got something cooked up for you guys here. Sort of a three parts, I think, here. First off, when I was out in Las Vegas for the NBA Summer League, I spoke with Joel Myers, one of the voices of the NBA. He's also the play-by-play voice for the New Orleans Pelicans. I ran into him, and while I was out there, had a chance to talk to him about Tim Frazier, the Wizards' new backup point guard who was with the Pelicans last year. Also, we talked a little bit about Boogie Cousins. Obviously, we understand why people are interested in him with the Wizards. So we'll do that. I'll also talk a little bit about Boogie Cousins here in just a second, my own thoughts. And then lastly, sort of a different type of interview here on the podcast. My friend from college, Roger Schultz, is a local artist, painter, does a lot of great work. He talked to me the other day and told me that he's also a big Maryland fan, I should say, from back in the day. Len Bias was his guy, as was the case for many. He's got a great portrait of Bias that he painted. He's had it for years. He's had it up among his works that you can look at on his website, RogerSchultz.com, or on his Twitter handle, which I believe is just at Roger Schultz. But he was telling me that he's in the process of selling some pieces, and this Bias one, he's had it forever, but he's putting it up for sale. He was talking to me about it. I said, hey, why don't you come on the podcast? Let's talk about it. Your inspiration. We'll talk some Maryland basketball. And he's actually not a real NBA. He's got some interesting ideas about the NBA because he's not a big NBA guy, but he's got some interesting ideas about the NBA and maybe one unbelievably radical way to change it. So a fun conversation there with Roger. Of course, if you want to catch up on any of our podcasts, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere else you do your podcasting. More podcasts coming up in the next couple weeks. I still have some interviews lined up. I should say I still have some interviews in the can from when I was out in Vegas and some other spots here and there. So I'll play with those for you guys coming up. Plus, hey, we still got more to talk about. Obviously, we're still waiting to hear what's going to be the shakeup with Kyrie Irving in Cleveland and how that could impact the Wizards. And, we'll talk some more about the specific Wizards themselves. Looks like we kind of know what the roster is going to look like. It's a good chance to now get into some thoughts about these individual players and what the Wizards are looking like going into next year. But first, let's just go right into Joel Myers. Like, as I said, he is one of the most recognizable voices in all of the NBA. One morning I just got into the media room over on the UNLV campus right next to where the Cox Pavilion and Thomas and Mack centers are. And I'm in the media room. I see him come in. He's getting some paperwork, going, I guess, to cover his game. And I stopped him, introduced myself, and said, hey, we just got Tim Frazier, we meaning the Wizards. I'm not a we guy. I just mean, as I explained who I was. And said, give a second. He said he did. I said for my podcast, he got nervous because I think he thought podcast meant a half an hour. I'm like, no. We'll keep it short. And this is definitely not a very long interview. But good to get his take on that. And then I did have to ask him about Boogie Cousins. I want to come back on the other side and talk a little bit more about the Boogie Cousins situation and why I do think things may have shifted a little bit on that. But let's just right now, here is Joel Myers, voice of the Pelicans, talking Tim Frazier and Boogie Cousins.
All right, we're here with the great Joel Myers. You, so many things you do for the NBA, but you also are the voice of the New Orleans Pelicans, the Washington Wizards, as it turned out, signed or just traded for one of the former Pelicans, Tim Frazier. What's your sense of that player? What have you kind of seen out of him during his time with New Orleans?
Good move by the Wizards. A real energy guy off the bench. He's going to be a great backup guard to John Wall. And they won't have to worry about somebody slowing the game down. Pace will stay the same. So there's going to be the continuity when you go to a backup for John Wall. That won't be an issue. So Tim's really, really good and good at finding guys because he had very few turnovers. You look at the last 10, 15 games of the season, it was wild. It was like 70 assists over maybe 5-7 turnovers. He was very clean with the basketball.
And the one thing they Wizards definitely struggled with last year was when Wall left the court, they didn't have anybody who could run any form of offense. And it seemed like that's what Frazier is, a table setter, kind of a point guard. Is that fair to say based on kind of how you saw him there as well?
Yeah, I mean, he can stroke it. But I like him better when he's a facilitator. There's no question about that. But I just like his tenacity. I like his energy at both ends of the floor. He will get after it. And he doesn't back down. So he thinks he's a big guard, which is good too, which is really healthy. I just overall like his mentality, his approach to the game. He'll try to outwork people, which is really healthy.
So if it's good for the Wizards, why did the Pelicans decide to move on from him? They did get the 52nd pick. Was it just for the pick? Was there some other reason that you thought he does have an expiring contract? Any reason why you think, from New Orleans' perspective, why they decided to make that move?
Basically, they need some shooters more than facilitators. So I think they were looking for shooting. They were also looking for the potential at the time because they had their own second-round pick. And picking up another, could they couple it like they did last year when they had 39 and 40 and they paired them, traded up to the Clippers to get 33 and got Cheick Diallo, who looked very good. So I think it was twofold. If they could find a shooter, they would. But if they weren't along those lines and they couldn't come up with a shooter, then maybe we could pair the two second-round picks and get somebody that would facilitate what they were trying to do.
I have to ask you one Boogie Cousins question because clearly I'm sure you get it all the time. How's it working with Anthony Davis? What's his future? And as somebody who covers the Wizards, everybody has wanted to pair him with John Wall since the day they both left Kentucky. So I guess just from your perspective, what did you see with Boogie Cousins and Anthony Davis last year? How do you see that going forward? And what's your sense of his long-term future?
Well, you couldn't tell last year because only about 25 games, so a small sample size. But overall, I think it can work. And he was not in great shape last year either when he got there. So when the Pelicans wanted to push the ball, he was on the trail. So a lot of times you see him at the head of the key and he'd be receiving the pass, but it was after they looked for early offense and he was on the back of the trail of the play. So I think he's going to be fine. He's in great shape. He's lost weight. He's been working out with Anthony Davis. They have an incredible relationship, but it's too early to tell. And they brought Chris Finch in for that very reason, who worked with Jokic last year in Denver. So hopefully the results are going to work.
Well, I wish you best luck in dealing with those questions all year because they're definitely going to come. Any advice for somebody who's trying to do some podcasting, how to get a voice like yours? Is there any one thing I can do to improve on what I have to even get in the ballpark of what you have?
A lot of Cabernet and a lot of garlic. Just stay with those two. And your cardiologist will tell you the same.
Beautiful. Joel, I really appreciate it. Best
anytime,
of luck. Thank
anytime.
You.
Thanks.
Yeah. Have a good one. You too. Cabernet and garlic. I think I don't know if that's going to be a new catchphrase, the name of a new podcast, but somehow that's going to have to stick. Cabernet and garlic. Context won't make any sense for anybody in a while, but I liked hearing that. It really is almost embarrassing to hear my voice going up with Joel Myers. It is definitely a David and Goliath situation there. In any event, good takes from Joel on Tim Frazier. Mentioned his tenacity, and you know, you can't judge anybody. I wouldn't judge somebody's basketball play necessarily by the few interactions I've had with him, but I've now seen Tim Frazier around a few times. We met him when he came into DC for his press conference. He was out in Las Vegas. I think I saw him one other time, and it's been very cordial, very nice. But it seems like he does have a bit of an edge as his general personality. Look, he is a guy who came up, you know, having to prove himself to make an NBA team. And, you know, he's definitely done that and he's been able to stick around. So you got to have that edge when nobody's believing in you to believe in yourself. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, you know, look, the Wizards have gone through a cavalcade of point guards trying to find somebody to back up John Wall.
is Tim Frazier the answer? You know, I don't know. If he can be, you know, sort of as good as Ramon Sessions was, especially that first year, but give them more of a true floor leader, as opposed to Sessions was more of that one-on-one type of point guard who could get his own but wasn't really setting other guys up, I think that would be huge. On this paper, it seems like Tim Frazier gives the Wizards what they need from that spot. You know, look, the fact that they gave up a second-round pick for the one-year rental, perhaps, something we'll have to we'll see what that means down the line. In any event, Wizards, in theory, should have an upgrade at their backup point guard spot. Now, as for Boogie Cousins, you heard me ask about that. What can we say about Boogie Cousins? Let me just go positive here. And start with this. For all of you dreamers out there, for all of you people who believe that the Wizards should get DeMarcus Cousins, that he is the missing ingredient, that he's the one you want to see paired with John Wall, and I guess now Bradley Beal, and I guess presumably Otto Porter. I think if you have been optimistic all this time, I think your optimism level should be about as high as it's realistically been right now. And here's why. The entire reason for why DeMarcus Cousins is constantly discussed with the Wizards, and when I say discussed, I don't mean by Woj or any NBA insiders. I mean by people who are interested in the Wizards, people we talk about. There are people who nationally, you know, sort of get it. John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins played together at Kentucky. They've remained close by all accounts. Whenever DeMarcus Cousins comes here, well, he gets questioned from the media about John Wall earlier this year. You can hear it on the Locked On Wizards in the archives. DeMarcus Cousins on this podcast talking about John Wall and the idea of potentially one day playing together and so on. But I believe at that point, you know, Boogie Cousins' response to that was sort of to the effect of, well, why can't we play together in Sacramento? Of course, he subsequently got traded to New Orleans. And after that, John Wall signed his extension, which, by the way, is now official. He has signed that extension. So John Wall could be here through 22-23 if he were to exercise that fourth and final year of the extension. So he's not going anywhere, which means if Boogie Cousins and John Wall do want to play together, it would be here. But, you know, unless somehow John Wall asks for a trade, which we won't even get into. But presumably, if they're going to play, it's going to be here. And the thing is, DeMarcus Cousins is a free agent next year. Because he was traded from Sacramento to New Orleans, that supermax type scenario is not in play. So the Wizards, money shouldn't be an issue there. Now, there's money an issue from the standpoint of can they afford it and luxury tax and all that type of stuff. And, you know, look, I think you got to give Ted Leontis credit, whether you agree with all the way they've spent the money. They have spent the money. The Wizards are, I think the last time I looked, things changed as other teams making moves. But I think the last time I looked, the Wizards are projecting to be like a top five, or spending like a top five salary in the league next year. With all their, you know, with all their scenarios. And obviously, you know, you've got now John Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter locked up for at least the next 3 years. I say three. Otto Porter had a 4-year extension, but it was a player option on the fourth. You've got Markieff Morris for the last two. Now, of course, you also have Martin Gortat the next two, Jan Mahimi for at least the next three. So you'd have to find a way to move some money around if DeMarcus Cousins can show up, but it's not impossible. I know people are pointing to that, you know, they're sort of locked in now with these, with these salaries. You can always figure out a way to move things. If they need to move Mahimi, if they're willing to attach a first round pick or perhaps Kelly Oubre or something like that, they can get it done. That's what happens. If you go back to that interview I did with ESPN analyst Amin Al-Hassan out in Las Vegas, he talked about how the Warriors, the run that they're on now, on some level, kind of started when they shifted Andre Bjorkstrand's contract plus some other things, and they attached some picks with that. To Denver to allow them to clear enough space so they could bring in Andre Iguodala. Sometimes you have to give things up to get stuff. The Wizards did this on a much smaller scale last year. For only a short-term investment, when they gave up a first and Andrew Nicholson
to get Bojan Bogdanovic. But, you know, presumably they could do that with a Jan Mahimi or what have you, or potentially even an Otto Porter if that's how they felt they wanted to go to open space up. The larger point, though, is this. If Boogie Cousins comes to the Wizards and says, hey, I want in with John Wall, they'll figure something out. I would be surprised if they didn't. And I would also think that even though the Wizards from an attendance standpoint have not been were not very good last year, one of the lower, you know, bottom half of the league in overall attendance and near the bottom in terms of, you know, per capacity. But the point would be if Boogie Cousins is interested in playing with John Wall, he's interested in playing here. I will also remind you that when the NBA had the lockout a few years ago, and you had the Goodman League here playing the Drew League out in L.A., John Wall was played on the Goodman League team. You'd expect that. So did Boogie Cousins. He was hanging out here that summer. So, you know, he's been around this area. Just saying. I guess I'm just saying that, like, you know, it's a frustrating topic for me when everybody always wants to just say Boogie Cousins, Boogie Cousins, Boogie Cousins. He's the savior. Get him. They ignore the fact that even though I give Sacramento no pass for all that franchise's problems for the last, you know, decade or so, Boogie Cousins has been part of that situation. He certainly doesn't get off scot-free. His reputation as something of a coach killer has existed. But I've also liked being around Boogie Cousins. He's certainly been an interesting guy in the very brief appearances I've been around him. Other people have told me the same things. And look, he's obviously a crazy talented player. You know, if he gets it right, if he is in the right spot, you know, he could easily be, I don't want to say the best center in the league, but he could be, he's certainly right in that conversation perhaps. And therefore, he's interesting. But all the other times that the idea of him being interesting involved some trades, and the Wizards were going to have to give up, even if you wanted to entertain that, you'd have to give up Bradley Beal and a bunch of other stuff. It doesn't matter that Sacramento traded him essentially for Buddy Hield and other things. The owner had a Jones for Buddy Hield. That's a separate issue than what the true value is. But if now we've got a different scenario, John Wall is here. Boogie Cousins wants to play as John Wall. Hey, I mean, you know, this is where it'll have to be. So if you've been optimistic, if you've been hoping, if you've been asking Santa to bring DeMarcus Cousins here, you're going to have to wait another full NBA season. You're going to have to hope that he and Boogie Cousins and Anthony Davis don't, you know, kick butt in New Orleans next year and that he likes that situation and wants to stay. If things break right and he does really want to play with John Wall, hey, we know where that's going to be. So that to me is at least interesting, to say the least. I wouldn't go far as to say I think it's the end result. It's the be all end all, but it would certainly be all kinds of interesting. Speaking of Boogie Cousins and New Orleans Pelicans, as part of the Locked On Podcast Network, you can of course follow Locked On Pelicans to get updates throughout the offseason and next year on what's going on down there in the Big Easy. So check out the Locked On Pelicans podcast, part of the Locked On Sports Network. All right, so there we go on the sort of the wizardy part of this podcast. As I mentioned earlier, I also recorded a podcast with my friend from college, Roger Schultz, a local, who's also a local artist. Some of his work has been shown at the Cooley Gallery. I actually was, when I was at Redskins training camp, just yesterday, I saw Chris Cooley out there, spoke to him for a few minutes about the Redskins, and also talked about Roger Schultz and told him that we, in fact, did this podcast. He had nothing but good things to say about Roger. In any event, so like I said, there's some NBA randomness in here, but no, if you're looking for that, you know, diehard Wizards insidery stuff, that's probably, the rest of this won't be for you, but it's a fun conversation. Roger is a super interesting guy, great artist. As I said, at least do me the favor, go check him out, rogerschultz.com, look at his work. We're specifically talking in here about a Len Bias portrait that he did. You can also see that up on his Twitter page. At Roger Schultz. And it's Roger, R-O-D, as in David, G-E-R, Schultz, S-C-H, ULTZ. So you get, don't forget that D in the first name for Roger. So we talked about Len Bias, about Maryland basketball, but specifically what Len Bias meant to him, why he ultimately painted this portrait of him that he did. It's kind of a interesting process that he went through, and why after all these years that he's had it, is he looking to sell it now. And also, Roger's got some, he flat out admits, not a real NBA guy. He's more of a college guy, but he's got some interesting thoughts on ways that would fundamentally change the game of basketball, for make the NBA more interesting. He thinks it's the kind of thought that it sort of encapsulates why Roger's an interesting guy to talk to know in real life. Cause it's way out there, and yet it's all kinds of interesting at the same time. In fact, Chris Cooley made that point, but he asked if we discussed this specific way that Roger thinks we could change the game of basketball, and it's we both had a laugh over it. So anyway, so here is that. Please give a listen. Like I said, if nothing else, go check out his website, rogerschultz.com. Lots of interesting stuff. But here we go. My conversation with friend and local artist Roger Schultz about Len Bias, University of Maryland, and why he's not the biggest NBA fan. Yeah, you're right. You're not really into the Wizards, but Maryland, obviously, you're down with.
Yeah.
Is there anybody on the Wizards or anybody in the NBA that you like at all, even if it's a player or something? Or? Or, like, do you follow the Maryland guys once they go into the pros? Are they dead to you?
I don't, man. I can't watch basketball. I can't watch NBA. But this... is this podcast worthy even talking about? Is this chit chat? So is your podcast like, is it chit chat like this, or do you have it professionally like, we're getting down to business and we're going to talk about topics and we're not going to ramble?
I'm a little bit of a rambler.
Okay. Cause I like this. This is like, you know, listening to people talk. This would be a legitimate question. The NBA sucks to me. It's a horrible product.
Well, we won't put that in the podcast, but go ahead.
Why?
No, that's okay. I'm just kidding.
It's not your opinion.
No. Look, right now, I'm recording right now. We just keep going here. But the NBA sucks. Why is that?
It's just a horrible product. Like, it's become unwatchable. I mean, really, after Jordan left, I tried a few people, but Jordan, when he did his comeback to the Wizards, I tried to watch, and he couldn't even hold me. But this Lonzo Ball guy, he's got some juice around him. I may take a peek if he gets a good cast of characters around him.
Lonzo Ball looks a lot of fun. Here's my thing with that statement. Now, you obviously, you know, look, we've known each other since way too many years ago. But in college, I mean, to be fair, I don't know how much we were, like, talking college basketball in college. But post that, we've talked about it plenty. You're a big Maryland guy. You were big, you're big into that. And, I was big into Maryland and Georgetown and all that back then. I've been to three Final Fours all as a fan, all that stuff. I am not that excited about the college game anymore. And part of it is because of the fact that a guy like Lonzo Ball, he's there for 10 seconds. You have no sense of really – I mean, in his case, it's different because – we had the whole thing with the dad, and we actually had a pretty good sense of his backstory. But over most of these guys, they come in, we have no idea who they are, and before you even start to get any, you know, either warm and fuzzy feelings or sports hatred towards them, they leave, then they come to the NBA. I don't think that's always great for the NBA, but my point would be that all the good players are in the NBA. There's almost nobody in college anymore that's like, oh yeah, that's great, except for guys who show up for 10 minutes, and then they're out of there. The NBA, I mean, it's not I wouldn't say the game is like ideal these days to the way my sensibilities are, but it's definitely a lot of fun with all the offense in particular.
Yeah, I agree, man. They gotta get the rule in there. Give me at least 2 years. Let them go pro immediately if they want to and do the baseball. Is baseball 3 years too? Football, yeah, and baseball 3 years?
Yes. Baseball, obviously, you can go straight to the minor leagues. I wonder if the NBA will eventually, like, if they're not going to eventually do, you got to stay at least 2 years. I do wonder if they will at least say, okay, the G League, if that becomes a real thing, it's not there yet, but it's getting closer. If that becomes a real thing, do they say, okay, look, you can come out to the pros, you'll make this much money.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we'll see what happens. Should I give you, let me give you a proper introduction. I mean, by this point, I would have already said something, but that's for you're here.
Do you want me to use, I actually have a mic that's going to improve your sound. I can pop in a proper mic.
If you want to try it, go ahead. Like I said, at this point, we're already in. So people have already either decided that they like the tone of Roger Schultz's voice, or they're like, who is this dude and what is going on here? So as I said before, my guy Roger here, who I've known now for, I don't even want to count how many years, but, since college, he is like, I'm not going to say you're the best artist of all time, because, like, you know, I mean, Michelangelo or all those dudes were good, Rembrandt. But, like, of the people that I legitimately know, I mean, I think it's pretty fair to say you're easily, like, the best artist I know. And, like, your stuff's at the Cooley Gallery, i.e. Chris Cooley. I was looking at your bio. Oh, by the way, you can go to rogerschultz.com. Roger's got the D, R-O-D-G-E-R, Schultz, S-C-H-U-L-T-Z.com. You can check out all his work. I legitimately really do like it a lot. I'm looking at your bio here, by the way. It talks about where you went to school, blah, blah, blah. It talks about some things you've done professionally. It talks about all these exhibits you had all over the place. And it talks about you've been on NBC. You were on NBC last year, local NBC 4, which we can get into. But then it talks about your selected collections of work.
Oh, yeah. That's, I write my bio probably once every 3 years. And
Now, I know some of these names because they're names of some of friends of ours. But what's up? Nicole Richie has one of your pictures?
Do I got Fowd up there? Yeah. I actually, she's got a – and I experimented a lot when I was young. I did Dorothy on the yellow brick road carrying a Prada bag or something like that. my friend, you know, my brother-in-law is Jimmy Haha. From Jimmy's Chicken Shack, and he was the mentor for Good Charlotte. And she married, what's their name? Joel and, I don't even remember, the twin brothers.
Benji
and Joel. She married one of those two, and we were hanging out, and I gave it to him.
And didn't the other one marry Cameron Diaz?
Yeah, man, I heard that.
That is some brothering up right there. I mean, that is some good work. Is that Nicole, the Nicole Richie one? Is that on your website? If people go there, can they see it?
I can dial it up when I'm talking to you. The latest one, the good one, is the city of Atlanta bought 8 portraits all at once. It's pretty nice.
Wow. And then there's this John Kermigas guy. Sounds like a clown.
All right. Dude, he's got probably one of the best collections. He's a buddy of ours. People don't know. We all went to college together. He's like one of my top collectors. He's got a sweet thing going.
Oh no, you've got like fans. They're like Roger stans out there. Like people who are like all about your work. I mean, like legitimate people who like don't even know that like I totally know you still. They're like, oh my God, Roger's work. But let me not kiss your butt here too much. But let's get into something though. To that point though about your artwork, and that is. Well,
I'm gonna pause you because I'm gonna answer your question. It's called Dorothy. Is the piece a little sketchy, fun thing? And by the way, I'm not even the best artist probably on my block.
Oh, I can't help that.
Best artist in the world. Yeah. My next door neighbor is probably a better artist.
Yeah, well, all right. I don't know him though. That's what I'm saying. If I met him, then maybe you're number two, but I don't know him.
Number two in the block, baby.
All right. So to combine these first two topics a little bit, the Maryland basketball and the painting, part of your collection over the years, you've done a lot of different sports teams, items, players, whatever, and you did one on Len Bias, which is always one of my favorite things that you have up there. I mean, to say it looks like Len Bias, it would be sort of the understatement, but it's just a really good vibe about him. It's a somber version of sort of Len Bias. And you know, considering how things went, I don't know, the somber one that kind of works for me, but you told me that you're looking to sell this thing. You've got a kid in college, basically, you got to do some things. Am I right? Am I still right on this, or is that not the deal?
Yeah, man. College is expensive.
It is, right? That's what I
Yeah, and does it look like him? Larry came out. I wasn't sure, man. That thing took me, it took me 3 years to do because I wasn't good enough when I started. And I'm a Terp, you know, I go to the Terps board. I end up on year three. It didn't look like him because Bias, if you remember his smile, his facial features are all in his grin and his smile, you know, the lines in his face. And I wanted to do him deadpan. That's what I do. So I had to actually combine like 7 photos together, and there's hardly any photo of them. So I was on the Terp boards putting it up like, does this look like him? And people would tell me, no, dude, his nose is too fat. I mean, they would get intricate.
Wow.
With me. And over a course of a month, I don't even know how it worked. It just kind of came together. And I mean, I love it. I always worry whether it looks like him or not because there's really no photos of him like it. But Larry Katenhead came over right when he walked in because I have it up front in my pass. He said, holy shit, I'm biased. Ooh, can I cuss?
Yeah, you're fine. I mean, it's been a minute, unfortunately, since, you know, Len Bias was with us and he was a day-to-day presence in our world. But, you know, I certainly have seen his, you know, every year the anniversary comes up or just a million times over a course of a year, there's some reason that Len Bias comes into the discussion and you look at some videos or some pictures. So certainly the picture is fresh in my head. And when I look at your painting, I mean, it's not, you know, I'm not having to guess who that is. I'm not going, it kind of looks like, no, it's definitely him. But I think maybe more to the point, why him? I mean, you're somebody, you know, obviously there's tons of Maryland players and there's, you've been a fan of other teams and other sports. What was it about him that made you at some point in life decide that this needs to happen?
Man, he was just – he was my hero. When was it? 2012. I had just started doing portraits. So he might have been the first one I tried. It's just a hero of mine. And for a painter, brown skin is really hard. I'd go straight for the hardest thing I can do and try to – muscle through it, you know. But he's my guy. He's biased, man.
Yeah, no, I remember meeting him when I went to Lester Giselle's basketball camp.
You met him?
I mean, I got his autograph, you know, that type of thing. I don't remember what year it was, but he wasn't. It was probably like after his, between junior and senior year, I'd guess. Cause I think after his senior year, I don't know how much he was, I think after his senior year, I think by the time camp started, I think he had already passed. So I guess it had to have been, before that, his junior year. But yeah, no, I mean, it was at that age. I mean, you know, I don't want to go like overly crazy with like, you know, the G word, but it was like, oh, you know, this is like, it's like your poster came to life and I'd seen him play before, but to actually meet him, I mean, I'm so jaded now because I'm around.
Yeah.
You know, like I just went to the NBA Summer League and literally around every corner was John Wall or Boogie Cousins or Anthony Davis or whatever. So I'm jaded. I'm like, okay, whatever. Then I was like, oh my, Len Bias, you kidding me? Holy hell.
You know, I did the lefty camp. John Lucas was my coach. We're the same age. Were you a Terp fan when you were young? Did you get some John Lucas in your DNA there?
By the time the John Lucas I got was when he was with the Bullets. I don't remember the Maryland version.
I think he was too when I was there, or he wasn't even retired at that point.
Yeah. No, I mean, to sort of give away, I mean, people know how old I am, but, like the Albert King, Buck Williams era.
Yeah.
Was basically my era. And even that, I just remember being interesting because Albert King, the first year that I was paying attention, I guess, was the man. I mean, he was one of the best players in college basketball. I think he probably could have been, I want to say, a top 5 pick if he had left that year. But then he came back and wasn't as good, and Buck Williams just turned into a monster. You know, he, even though he was like 6 inches short, or maybe 8 inches shorter than like Ralph Sampson, he'd give him the business. And then by the time they both went pro, and Buck Williams went like, what, third or something? And Albert King still went like first round, but a little bit later. But that was sort of interesting to watch at an early age and see the evolution of like one guy surpassing the other guy. You're like, oh, this guy's unbelievable. Oh, wait a minute. What? things can change? Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
That's when the NBA was fun, man. I actually barely remember John Lucas except for he used to have his jock strap pulled like halfway up to his back. I mean, I was 10 or 11. He was a character, man.
You told me that along with your stance of not caring about the NBA, once a Maryland player leaves, he's gone. Like, because you're not paying attention to the NBA, you're not really paying much attention anymore.
No, man. I mean, I wish. It's just, I just don't like the product.
All right, so let me inform you that in the NBA Summer League Championship game, the Portland Trailblazers, the best player, Jake Layman, he kicked butt. He had like 21 points. He was one of those guys. It's weird. It feels like the history of Maryland is for those sort of mid-tiery kind of guys is they go backwards, you know, the X-ray hip category. But like there's been other guys who seem like they go backwards. Layman's a rare case at Maryland. I'm sure I'm exaggerating, but a rare case. The guy, he went upward. Like his first couple years, I think people were frustrated. And then in his last year, you know, he was not considered to be one of the top four guys, I don't think, on that team going into that year with when you had Trimble and Des Wells and so on. And then Layman, I think by the end of it, was as bad as consistent as anybody they had on the team.
Yeah, he didn't, he came in supposed to be a superstar. And he didn't really hit that threshold, so he became a workman. Like he worked. And the guys watching, you could see, he did all he was that glue guy who did all the small things that, that you don't really notice unless you're a fan. So the fans really watching saw what he was doing. He put in the hours and he worked every second, offense, defense. So I love him. If he gets in there and starts doing some damage, I'll take a peek and try to give the NBA a try. Lonzo Ball too, because I don't know, he's got some energy around. I might peek in on him if he's awesome. Seems like he's killing it, right? 2 triple doubles I saw.
Yeah. Now, as far as the latest Maryland hero to go pro, Melo Trimble, I was like a couple steps away from him during, I'm trying to look this up really quick, during one of the summer league games. Hold on, let me see here. Yeah, he didn't play that much. I mean, he was like, it was some game Philly was about to play, and he was waiting to play. But I don't think he played that much, and, I don't think he's going to make it, at least not this year. That's my bold, hot take prediction. Trimble does not make the NBA this year. Does the fact – forget that he went early, although, I guess you can complain if you want. Like, it seemed obvious he was going to leave. He was really close to leaving the year before, and – it isn't just about the NBA. You can make money all over the world. I would try to remind people that. So it kind of seemed like he was gone, and I've heard enough reasons to think that everybody involved kind of realized he needed to go. But does your what's your lasting memory of him? Good, bad, anything specific? Glad to see him go.
This is an interesting question. I mean, I debate whether I look at it's a hot topic on the Turt boards, whether he belongs in the Raptors because he saved Turgeon's job, kind of like Walt Williams saved Gary back in the day. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but.
Oh, yeah, of course.
He's important. He's very important. He's not athletic enough to make the NBA. He's just, it's no one's fault. It's just, but he's so smart. He's just so smart. He's going to get on somewhere, but. I wanted him to leave. I didn't want him to come back last year. Maryland's offense kind of got pigeonholed into this tiny little thing. It's not Melo hero ball. It was boring. It's boring. And part of it's Turge. Turge just runs a really boring offense. And I'm tired of watching it. So I didn't want him to come back, to be honest. I'm glad he did. They did a lot better because he was there. They probably would have lost a ton of games if he wasn't. But I mean, he's, there you go. It's like I wanted him to go, but he really is a near legend almost. I guess he's important for Maryland.
Yeah, no, the comparison with Walt Williams is definitely spot on for the two. I mean, completely different circumstances. But Walt Williams kept Maryland at least interesting for a couple of years. While they were, on probation and all that. And then, you know, soon after that, Gary started to get some other guys in and turn things around. Turgeon was struggling, needed to get a win, and Trimble was the guy who popped on that team that seemingly turned things around. But yeah, it is weird. Like after that freshman year and then early into his sophomore year, like, I'm not saying he was ever going to be considered to be as good as, you know, John Lucas or anybody like that. But it seemed like the trajectory was going super high. And then, I don't know, somewhere in that middle of that sophomore year, it just went south. And then last year, he was good. I mean, it wasn't like he was a terrible player, but it just never felt like he got the magic back. And even though Maryland had a good year overall, it does sort of weirdly feel that, like, he ended sort of on a downer, even though by so many other rational measures, that's not what happened.
Yeah, that's it. It's kind of weird. They put up the numbers. They got the wins. The games weren't fun to watch at the same time. And he did lose his magic. It was like a soup. It's a soup, a mix of kind of biffing it and being awesome and mediocrity all swimming. It's hard to get a take on now, man. But, you know, everyone's got their own thing about him, but he's beloved. He's beloved. You know, I wouldn't wash him out of my memory.
Remind me, because I can't remember this. Were you on the team, the Phi Kappa Psi intramural team that won the basketball intramural title?
I think it was on there. I think I was a bench player, because they had who was the guy who was the he was a really awesome point guard.
Well, I mean, Darren Gaynor.
Darren, yeah. He was good, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, he was good.
I rode the pine a lot on that team.
Yeah.
And I was a smoker. I could last about 2 minutes.
That was a good year for me personally. We won the championship. I played about 4 minutes a game, but I was the coach, so I had that. But then, like, we started that year. UMBC had, like, a real game over at the Baltimore Arena, and something happened. They were supposed to have, like, an opening game, and something fell through, an alumni game or something. So that the last minute they asked us and another fraternity to play in that game before the real UMBC game, and I was a coach, and we kicked their butt, and so I'm undefeated at the Baltimore Arena. So there you go.
All right, baby.
It's on my resume. Not really, yeah, but it should be.
A trophy?
Yeah, no, I did not get a trophy. Sons of bitches.
You got some aspirations as a coach? You take on a high school team? You think you got the skills or the will?
Skills, yeah, I don't know. Will,
if somebody said, Ben, I want you to take over my high school team. Carte blanche. We suck. You're not going to get any worse. Would you do it?
All right, well, what do we got here? Do we got like a lovable loser kind of team, a bunch of misfits? Do we have, is it like a team that's like sort of like from like the, you know, not to sound like Bill Simmons, but like it's like the White Shadow, like they're talented dudes who just can't quite, who, you know, don't always, you know, play the way you're supposed to? Like, what kind of team do we got?
I suppose they suck enough to offer you a job. Like someone who's never coached before.
That's pretty much my entire resume. Somebody sucked enough that they needed to offer a job.
Well, you never coached, man.
No. Well, except hey, come on. With me running the show at UMBC, we were the kings of the intramurals.
Hey, you're undefeated. That's why you're getting the job. That's why we're offering it to you, Ben.
Awesome. All right. Well, I will.
Are you going to take it?
I will strongly consider it, especially if part of the perk package involved, you know, some Roger Schultz artwork that I need for my barren walls. All right, so before we get going here, now that we've veered off way deep into the weeds, let's get back to you for a quick second. So it's rogerschultz.com. I mentioned the Len Bias picture. Obviously, you've got a few things up here that if people are interested in, I'm sure they can they can talk to you about it. What's the best way if they get to the site and they want to like actually hit you up? What's the best way to get in touch with you, whether the bias or something else?
Oh, hit that contact button there and email me. My wife usually gets the emails, but just email my people. One of my employees will take care of it. Yeah, just email me, man. Where I'm not. I left AOL. Man, I became computer unsavvy like overnight. I didn't even carry a smartphone, which you probably know. All my friends hate me because I don't have a smart. I can't even do group text.
No, I think you got kicked off the group
text
because you were.
I'm
constantly on probation because I have an Android phone and they all have iPhones. I get yelled at constantly. In fact, if they listen to this part of the podcast, I will get yelled at on the text chain because I just reminded them that this happened. I can't even comprehend. Like I'm of the belief that we don't really need phones to advance much more than beyond where they're at now for all of us to be pretty happy. If we spent the time and energy that we all think about the phone and like the upgrade and put it on, like, say, things that we could really use to improve our situation, we'd be better off. But to go backwards to not having it, I don't even know what I would do anymore to not have all the I don't even mean like the crazy apps, but just the basics, you know, internet, phone, recorder for me, things like that. That would be tough.
Yeah, I need that GPS. Hey, did I ever send you my so I redesigned the NBA game. Did I ever send you that?
No. What do you mean you redesigned the NBA game, like a video game?
No. I just don't like the NBA game, so I designed it for a round court. It's pretty awesome. I need to send it to you to get your take on it, because I worked out it's a round court with three baskets.
If you send it to me and I can make heads or tails of it, I will show it to people and maybe look. We got after about this week, there's like 2 months of not much going on in the NBA Wizards world. So maybe we'll have a detailed conversation about the circular court with three baskets.
I think it's on my Twitter.
There's one guy. So basically, one guy for each team is under each basket in some way. And then three guys are running around.
Three rovers. And I just, it could be five people too. You know, I put a lot of thought into it, running scenarios through. Yeah. And almost every place on the court is a threat to their score. So right where that, I call it the spoke in between the circles, kind of where Steph Curry is jacking them from now.
All right, you got to look at the court to really make heads or tails, but it's super interesting if you want sort of a mind-bending way to look at how to play basketball. But another example of how Roger is a man ahead of his time. All right. wait, are you on your? I was going to mention your Twitter, but I don't view you're on. Maybe I'm wrong.
I rarely post there. I just kind of use it as a utilitarian.
What's your Twitter handle also?
I don't even know. That's how little I use it.
Hold on.
Probably Roger Schultz.
Yeah, it is Roger Schultz. Greg, look at that. Yeah, at Roger Schultz. All right, so again, go to rogerschultz.com. Check out the Len Bias picture if you want it, which I think you should. I'll also tweet out if you go to Roger's Twitter feed, it's the top picture on his or the top tweet on his page. But I'll also tweet it out from at Locked On Wizards or at Ben Standing, if not both. So go to rogerschultz.com, check that out, check out his other stuff. Highly recommend, not just saying that because he's a friend for many years and I'm talking to him right now, but because I have really good taste in art, nobody ever does. But no, I really do. Yeah, I do. And my mother was an artist. I know what I'm looking at. He's got good stuff. So there you go. All right, man. Appreciate it. Good luck with everything. And we will talk more with you. If you decide to get back into the NBA world, you want to, you know, experience the NBA life, you want to come back on the podcast, talk about Lonzo Ball or the Wizards, you let me know.
All right, man.
Cool.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Peace.
All right. If you made it this far, greatly appreciate it. Hope you guys check out my guy Roger Schultz's site again, rogerschultz.com, R-O-D-G-E. rschultz.com. Everybody's trying to figure out a way to help their family out. He's a man with the artist touch. He's looking to sell some work. Lots of people are interested in what he does. Hopefully you guys are as well. Check it out. And even if it's not the Len Bias one, maybe there's something else there that piques your fancy, and give him a shout out. And if you want to see his mind-bendy court, I will tweet it out on the at Locked On Wizards Twitter feed over the weekend. All right, that's it for now. Back more next week
with more of the Locked On Wizards podcast. Ben Standing signing off. And until also many thanks to Joel Myers, of course, as well, for his time in Las Vegas. And so until next time, see ya.
Everybody just Beal gets open for three. Dagger!
Home drive, ultimate shot.
Dagger!